2833. And Abraham went and took the ram, that this signifies their liberation by the Lord's divine human, is evident from the representation of Abraham as being here the Lord as to his divine human. For when Yahuwah, or the angel of Yahuwah, speaks with Abraham, then Yahuwah, or the angel of Yahuwah, is the divine itself, and Abraham is the divine human. And also from the signification of a ram as being the spiritual, number 2830. It is hence manifest that Abraham's going and taking the ram caught in the thicket by his horns signifies the liberation of the spiritual by the Lord's divine human. That without the Lord's coming into the world, the spiritual could not possibly have been saved, may be seen above, number 2661, 2716. And that they have salvation and liberation by the Lord's divine human, number 2716. 2834. And offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. That this signifies their sanctification and adoption is evident from the signification of offering for a burnt offering as being to be sanctified, see number 2776, and from the signification of in the stead of his son as being adoption, namely by the Lord's divine human, which here is Abraham. Number 2833. The adoption of the spiritual is described in John. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. 15, verse 5. That a vine is the spiritual church may be seen above, number 1069. 2835, verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place, Yahuwah will see, as it is said to this day, in the mountain Yahuwah will see. And Abraham called the name of that place, signifies the quality of their state from the Lord's divine human. Yahuwah will see, signifies the Lord's providence, as it is said to this day, signifies what is perpetual. In the mountain Yahuwah will see, signifies charity, by means of which it was provided by the Lord that they should be saved. 2836. Abraham called the name of that place, that this signifies the quality of their state, namely of the spiritual, from the Lord's divine human. It is evident from the signification of calling a name as being to know what the thing is, that is, its quality. See number 144, 145, 1754, 1896, 2009. From the signification of place as being state, see number 1273 to 1277, 1376 to 1381, 2625. And from the representation of Abraham as being the Lord as to his divine human, see number 2833. Hence it is manifest that Abraham called the name of that place signifies the quality of the state of the spiritual from the Lord's divine human. That the spiritual are saved by the Lord's coming into the world was shown above, number 2661, 2716. Also that they have illumination from the Lord's divine human, number 2716, and that it is provided that those should be saved who are in the faith of charity, that is, in charity, follows in this verse. This is the state which is signified by these words. 2837. Yahuwah will see. That this signifies the Lord's providence is evident from the signification of seeing when predicated of Yahuwah or the Lord, as being to foresee and provide. See number 2807. Thus Yahuwah is the Lord may be seen above, number 1343, 1736, 2156, 2329. In the literal sense, this is the naming of a place, but in the internal sense, it is the quality of a state which is described. For times and spaces are merely of nature. And therefore, when the sense of the letter of the word passes from nature into heaven, the natural idea of those things altogether perishes, and becomes the spiritual idea that corresponds to them. 2838. As it is said to this day, that this signifies what is perpetual is evident from the signification of today in the word, explained in what follows. We read in several places in the word, even to this day, or to today, as in what goes before, he is the father of Moab even unto this day, and the father of Ammon unto this day. Genesis 19, verses 37 and 38. And later in the same book, the name of the city is Beersheba even to this day. Genesis 26, verse 33. Also this, the sons of Israel, eat not the sinew of the part put out of place, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, even to this day. Genesis 32, verse 32. And also this, this is the pillar of Rachel's grave, even unto this day. Genesis 35, verse 20. Joseph made it a statute, even to this day. Genesis 47, verse 26. In the historical sense, these things regard the time when Moses lived. But in the internal sense, by this day and by today, there is signified perpetuity and eternity of state. That day as state may be seen above, number 23, 487, 488, 493, 893, and thus today also, which is time present. That which is of time in the world is eternal in heaven. That this might be signified, today is added, or to this day, although it appears to those who are in the historical sense as if it involved nothing further. The like is said elsewhere in the word, as Joshua 4, verse 9, 6, verse 25, 7, verse 26, Judges 1, verses 21 and 26, and in other places. That today signifies perpetuity and eternity may be seen in David. I will tell of the decree. Yahweh hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Psalm 2, verse 7, where this day manifestly denotes what is eternal. In the same, Forever, O Yahweh, thy word is settled in the heavens. Thy truth is unto generation and generation. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They abide this day according to thy judgments. Psalm 119, verses 89 to 91. Where also this day manifestly denotes what is eternal. In Jeremiah, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I gave thee for a prophet unto the nations. I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms, and I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and walls of brass. 1 verses 5, 10, and 18. Here in the sense of the letter, Jeremiah is treated of, but in the internal sense, the Lord is meant. I have set thee this day, or today, over the nations and over the kingdoms, and I have made thee this day a defensed city, means that it was from eternity. Of the Lord, nothing else than what is eternal can be predicated. In Moses, Ye are standing this day, all of you, before Yahweh your God, to enter into the covenant of Yahweh thy God, and into his oath, which Yahweh thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee this day unto himself for a people, and he will be a God unto thee, and not with you only, but with them who stand here with us this day before Yahweh our God, and with them who are not with us this day. Deuteronomy 29, verses 10 and 12 to 14. In the sense of the letter here, this day is the time present when Moses spoke to the people, but that it nevertheless involves the time to come and what is perpetual is evident. For to make a covenant with anyone and with those who were there and not there involves perpetuity, and the perpetuity itself is what is meant in the internal sense. That daily and this day signify what is perpetual is also evident from the sacrifice which was made every day. This, on account of the signification of day, daily, and this day, was called the continual or perpetual sacrifice. Numbers 28, verses 3 and 23, Deuteronomy 8, verse 13, 11, verse 31, 12, verse 11. This is still more plainly evident from the manna which rained from heaven, of which it is thus said in Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven, and the people shall go out and gather a portion day by day, and let no man leave of it till the morning. What they left till the morning, bread worms, and putrefied, except what was kept the day before the Sabbath." Exodus 16, verses 4, 19, 20, and 23. This was because the manna signified the Lord's divine human, John 6, verses 31, 32, 49, 50, and 58. And because it signified the Lord's divine human, it signified celestial food, which is nothing else than love and charity together with the goods and truths of faith. This food is given by the Lord in the heavens to the angels every moment, and this perpetually to eternity. See number 2493. This also is what is meant in the Lord's Prayer by "Give us this day our daily bread." Matthew 6, verse 11. Luke 11, verse 3. That is, every instant to eternity. 2839. In the mountain Yahuwah will see. That this signifies charity, by means of which it is provided by the Lord that they should be saved, namely the spiritual, is evident from the signification of a mountain as being love and charity. See number 795, 796, 1430. That Yahuwah will see denotes the Lord's providence, or what is provided by the Lord, was said just above, number 2837. Here charity is spoken of, and not love, on account of the difference between charity and love. See number 2023. That the spiritual are saved by charity, and not by faith separate from charity, is evident from many passages in the Word. With charity and with faith, the case is this. Charity without faith is not genuine charity, and faith without charity is not faith. That there may be charity, there must be faith, and that there may be faith, there must be charity. But the essential itself is charity. For in no other ground can the seed which is faith be implanted. From the conjunction of the two, mutually and reciprocally, is the celestial marriage, that is, the Lord's kingdom. Unless faith is implanted in charity, it is mere science, for it goes no further than the memory. There is no affection of the heart which receives it. But when it is implanted in charity, that is, in the life, it becomes intelligence and wisdom. Charity without faith, such as is with children and with upright Gentiles, is only ground in which faith is implanted, if not in the life of the body, still in the other life. See number 1802, 2280, 2290-2309, 2419, 2589-2604. 2840, verses 15 and 16. And the angel of Yahuwah called unto Abraham a second time out of heaven, and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith Yahuwah, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only one." The angel of Yahuwah called unto Abraham a second time out of heaven signifies still greater consolation of the Lord from the divine, and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith Yahuwah," signifies irrevocable confirmation from the divine. "Because thou hast done this thing," signifies the thing accomplished, "and hast not kept back thy son, thine only one," signifies the unition of the human with the divine by the utmost of temptation. 2841. The angel of Yahuwah called unto Abraham a second time out of heaven. That this signifies still greater consolation of the Lord is evident from the signification of calling out of heaven as being to console, and from the signification of the angel of Yahuwah as being the Lord's divine itself. See above, number 28:21, where the same words occur. This is said a second time because there is greater consolation. The first consolation is contained in verses 12, 13, and 14, where the subject is the Lord's providence that those from the human race who are called the spiritual should be adopted. The second consolation, which is greater, is contained in the verses that follow, 17, 18, etc., to the end. Namely, that the spiritual should be multiplied as the stars of the heavens and as the sand upon the seashore, and that not they only should be saved, but also all who are in good. These were things of the Lord's love, and therefore he had consolation from them. No one has consolation except from the things which are of his love. 2842 And said, By myself have I sworn, saith Yahuwah. That this signifies irrevocable confirmation from the divine, namely, concerning the things which follow, is evident from the signification of saying by myself have I sworn, and of saith Yahuwah, all of which involve confirmation, and indeed from the divine, that is, from himself. The divine cannot confirm from any other source than from itself, and what it confirms is irrevocable, because it is eternal truth. Whatever Yahuwah or the Lord speaks is eternal truth, Matthew 24, verse 35, for it comes from the very being of truth. But his confirming it, as it were, by an oath, as here and elsewhere in the Word, is not for the reason that it may be more true, but for the reason that it is said to such as do not receive truth divine unless it is so confirmed, for they have no other idea of Yahuwah or the Lord than as of a man, who can say and change, as we frequently read in the Word. But in the internal sense, it is very different. Everyone may know that Yahuwah or the Lord never confirms anything by an oath, but when the divine truth itself and its confirmation passes down to a man of such nature, it is turned into the semblance of an oath. The case herein is as it was with the devouring fire and smoke that appeared upon Mount Sinai before the eyes of the people when Yahuwah or the Lord came down. Exodus 19, verse 18, Deuteronomy 4, verses 11 and 12, 5, verses 19 to 21. His glory in heaven, even mercy itself, appeared in this manner before the people there, who were in evil and falsity. See number 1861. And the case is the same with many things called the sayings and doings of Yahuwah that are spoken of in the Word. It may be seen from this that the expression, By myself have I sworn, saith Yahuwah, is signified of irrevocable confirmation from the divine. That to swear when predicated of Yahuwah signifies to confirm with a man who is of such nature may be seen from many other passages in the Word, as in David. Yahuwah remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. Psalm 105, verses 8 and 9. The case is the same with a covenant as with an oath, in that Yahuwah or the Lord does not make a covenant with man. But when conjunction by love and charity is treated of, this is set forth in act as a covenant. See number 1864. In the same, Yahuwah hath sworn, and will not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the manner of Melchizedek. Psalm 110, verse 4. This is said concerning the Lord, and Yahuwah hath sworn denotes irrevocable confirmation from the divine, that is, that it is eternal truth. In the same, I have made a covenant with my chosen, I have sworn unto David my servant, Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to generation and generation. Psalm 89, verses 3 and 4. This also is concerning the Lord. To make a covenant with the chosen, and to swear unto David, denote irrevocable confirmation or eternal truth. David denotes the Lord, number 1888. To make a covenant regards the divine good. To swear, the divine truth. In the same. My covenant will I not profane, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, I will not lie unto David. Psalm 89, verses 34 and 35, where also David denotes the Lord. The covenant here likewise has regard to the divine good, and the thing that has gone out of my lips to the divine truth. And this on account of the marriage of good and truth, which is in everything in the Word. See numbers 683, 793, 801, 2516, 2712. In the same. Yahuwah hath sworn unto David in truth, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne, if thy sons will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them. Psalm 132, verses 11 and 12. Yahuwah hath sworn unto David in truth manifestly denotes the confirmation of eternal truth, and therefore it is said, he will not turn from it. That by David is meant the Lord has been stated already. The oath was still to David, because he was of such a character that he believed that the confirmation was concerning himself and his posterity. For David was in the love of himself and of his posterity, and hence believed that it was concerning him. That is, as said above, that his seed should be established forever, and his throne to generation and generation. But this was said of the Lord. In Isaiah, this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee. 54, verse 9, where to swear denotes making a covenant and confirming it by an oath. That it was a covenant and not an oath may be seen in Genesis 9, verse 11. In the same, Yahuwah hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. 14, verse 24. In the same, Yahuwah hath sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength. 62, verse 8. In Jeremiah, hear ye the word of Yahuwah, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith Yahuwah, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah, saying, as the Lord Yahweh liveth in all the land of Egypt. 44, verse 26. In the same, by myself have I sworn, saith Yahuwah, that Bozrah shall become a desolation. 49, verse 13. In the same, Yahuwah Zebaoth hath sworn by his soul, surely I will fill thee with men as with the locust. 51, verse 14. In Amos, the Lord Yahweh hath sworn by his holiness that, behold, the days shall come. 4, verse 2. In the same, Yahuwah hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. 8, verse 7. In these passages, Yahuwah swearing by his right hand, by his great name, by himself, by his soul, by his holiness, by the excellency of Jacob, signifies the confirmation there is in Yahuwah or the Lord. A confirmation by Yahuwah can be given only from him. The right hand of Yahuwah, the great name of Yahuwah, the soul of Yahuwah, the holiness of Yahuwah, the excellency of Jacob, signify the Lord's divine human. Swearing thereby was confirmation. Yahuwah or the Lord, swearing to give the land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or to their posterity, signifies in the internal sense the confirmation that he would give the celestial kingdom to those who are in love to him and faith in him. It is they who are meant in the internal sense of the word by the sons and the posterity of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or of the fathers, which was also actually represented by the fact that the land of Canaan was given to their posterity, and that the church at that time with them represented the Lord's celestial kingdom, as the land itself also did. That land and the land of Canaan in the internal sense is the Lord's kingdom may be seen above. Number 1413, 1437, 1607. It is from this that it is said in Moses, that ye may prolong your days upon the ground which Yahuwah sware unto your fathers, to give unto them and to their seed a land flowing with milk and honey, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children upon the ground which Yahuwah sware unto your fathers, to give them as the days of the heavens upon the earth. Deuteronomy 11, verses 9 and 21. From these passages it must now be evident that Yahuwah's swearing was representative of confirmation, and indeed of an irrevocable one. This is still more plainly manifest in Isaiah. By myself have I sworn, the word of justice is gone forth from my mouth, and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. 45, verse 23. Moreover, it was enjoined upon those who were of the representative Jewish church that when they confirmed covenants by an oath, and likewise vows, also promises and sureties, they should swear by the name of Yahuwah. The reason why this was enjoined upon them, although it was only permitted, was that the confirmation of the internal man also would thus be represented, so that oaths at that time in the name of Yahuwah were, as other things were, namely, representative. That it was enjoined, that is, permitted, is evident in Moses. Thou shalt fear Yahuwah thy God, and him shalt thou serve, and shalt swear by his name, ye shall not go after other gods. Deuteronomy 6, verses 13 and 14. Again in the same. Thou shalt fear Yahuwah thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and shalt swear by his name. Deuteronomy 10, verse 20. In Isaiah, he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. 65, verse 16. In Jeremiah, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith Yahuwah, unto me shalt thou return. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations from before me, waver not. And thou shalt swear, Yahuwah liveth in truth, in judgment, and in justice. 4, verses 1 and 2. In the same. If learning, they will learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, then they shall be built up in the midst of my people. 12, verse 16. That they also swore by the name of Yahuwah, or swore to Yahuwah, may be seen in Isaiah. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, that are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, that swear by the name of Yahuwah, and have made mention of the God of Israel, not in truth and not in justice. 48, verse 1. In the same. In that day there shall be five cities in the land of Egypt that speak the language of Canaan, and swear to Yahuwah Zebaoth. 19, verse 18. In Joshua, the princes of the congregation swear to the Gibeonites by Yahuwah, the God of Israel. 9, verses 18 and 19. From this it is evident that they were permitted to swear by the name of Yahweh or by Yahweh. Yet it is evident that this was nothing else than a representative of the confirmation of the internal man. But it is known that internal men, that is, those who have conscience, have no need to confirm anything by an oath, and that they do not thus confirm. To them, oaths are a cause of shame. They can indeed say with some asseveration that a thing is so, and can also confirm the truth by reasons, but to swear that it is so, they cannot. They have an internal bond by which they are bound, namely that of conscience. To superadd to this an external bond, which is an oath, is like imputing to them that they are not upright in heart. The internal man is also of such a character that he loves to speak and act from freedom, but not from compulsion. For with them, the internal compels the external, but not the reverse. On this account, they who have conscience do not swear, still less do they who have perception of good and truth, that is, celestial men. These do not even confirm themselves or one another by reasons, but merely say that a thing is so or is not so. Number 202, 337, 2718. Wherefore they are still further removed from taking an oath. For these reasons, and because oaths were among the representatives which were to be abrogated, the Lord taught that we are not to swear at all in these words in Matthew. Ye have heard that it has been said, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by the heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, for thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your speech be, yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. 5, verses 33 to 37. By these words is meant that we are not to swear at all by Yahweh, nor by anything which is of Yahweh or the Lord. 2843. Because thou hast done this thing, that this signifies the thing accomplished is evident without explication. 2844. And hast not withheld thy son, thine only one. That this signifies the unition of the human with the divine by the utmost of temptation is evident from what was said above, number 2827, where the same words occur, except that we do not here read, from me, by which is signified that there will be a still further unition. That there was always a further unition of the Lord's human essence with his divine essence, even to a plenary unition, may be seen above, number 1864, 2033. 2845, verse 17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall inherit the gate of thine enemies. That in blessing I will bless thee signifies fructification from the affection of truth, and in multiplying I will multiply signifies derivations of truth therefrom. Thy seed signifies the spiritual, who being in the good of faith are saved by the Lord's divine human. As the stars of the heavens signifies the multitude of the cognitions of good and truth, and as the sand which is upon the seashore signifies the multitude of corresponding scientifics. And thy seed shall inherit the gate of thine enemies signifies that charity and faith shall come into the place where evil and falsity were before. 2846. That in blessing I will bless thee. That this signifies fructification from the affection of truth, is evident from the signification of being blessed as meaning to be enriched with celestial and spiritual good. See number 981, 1096, 1420, 1422. Here, to be made fruitful from the good of faith, or what is the same, from the affection of truth, because the spiritual are treated of. It is here said, by Yahuwah to Abraham, in blessing I will bless thee. And by Abraham is represented the Lord as to his divine human, as before in this chapter. And yet the Lord himself could not be blessed, because he is blessing itself. But he is said to be blessed when, in accordance with his love, those abound who are saved. And therefore, in the internal sense, these are here signified, as is also evident from what immediately follows. Fructification is here spoken of because this is predicated of affection, but multiplication, as next follows, is predicated of the truths which are therefrom. 2847. In multiplying I will multiply, that this signifies the derivations of truth therefrom, is evident from the predication of being multiplied as being concerning truth. Here, therefore, as meaning the derivations of truth from affection, as was said just above. That being fructified is predicated of good, and being multiplied of truth may be seen above. Number 43, 55, 913, 983. 2848. Thy seed. That this signifies the spiritual who are saved in the good of faith by the Lord's divine human is evident from the signification of seed as being the faith of charity, concerning which, see number 1025, 1447, 1610, 1941, or what is the same, those of the human race who are in the faith of charity, that is, who are spiritual. They are also called by the Lord the seed and the sons of the kingdom in Matthew. He who soweth the good seed is the son of man, but the seed are the sons of the kingdom. 13 verses 37 and 38. 2849. As the stars of the heavens, that this signifies the multitude of the cognitions of good and truth, is evident from the signification of the stars as being the cognitions of good and truth. See number 1808, 2495. The spiritual are they who in the word are in various places compared to the stars, and this owing to the cognitions of good and truth which they have. But the celestial are not so compared, because they have not cognitions, but perceptions. Moreover, the stars illumine the night, and the spiritual have a light of night, as from the moon and stars, in comparison with the light of day in which the celestial are. That the spiritual have comparative obscurity may be seen above, number 1043, 2708 at the beginning, 2715. 2850. And as the sand which is upon the seashore, that this signifies the multitude of corresponding scientifics, is evident from the signification of the sea as being scientifics in general, or a gathering of them. See number 28, 2120. And from the signification of sand as being scientifics specifically or in particular. Scientifics are compared to sand, because the little stones of which sand is made, in the internal sense, signify scientifics. Number 643, 1298. It is here said that they shall be multiplied as the stars of the heavens, and also as the sand of the seashore, because the stars, or cognitions, have relation to the rational, but the sand of the seashore, or scientifics, to the natural. When the things of the rational man, namely the goods and truths of cognitions, agree with those of the natural man, namely with scientifics, so that they make a one, or mutually confirm each other, they then correspond. To this correspondence, the Lord reduces the rational and natural things of man when he regenerates him, or makes him spiritual. From this cause it is that both the stars of the heavens and the sand of the seashore are here mentioned. Otherwise, one would have been sufficient. 2851. And thy seed shall inherit the gate of thine enemies. That this signifies that charity and faith shall succeed in the place where evil and falsity were before, is evident from the signification of inheriting as being to receive the Lord's life. See number 2658. Here, to succeed in the place, because when charity and faith are in the place where evil and falsity were before, then the Lord's life succeeds there. From the signification of seed as being charity and faith, see number 1025, 1447, 1610, 1941. From the signification of a gate, explained in what follows. And from the signification of enemies as being evils and falsities, or what is the same, those who are an evil and falsity. In the internal sense of the word, these are signified by enemies and foes. As regards the signification of a gate, there are in general two gates with every man. The one opens toward hell and is open to the evils and falsities therefrom. In this gate are infernal genii and spirits. The other gate opens toward heaven and is open to goods and truths therefrom. In this gate are angels. There is thus a gate which leads to hell and a gate which leads to heaven. The gate of hell is open to those who are in evil and falsity, and only through chinks round about above does anything of the light from heaven enter, by means of which they are able to think and reason. But the gate of heaven is open to those who are in the good and the truth therefrom. For there are two ways which lead into man's rational mind, a higher or internal one, through which good and truth from the Lord enter, and a lower or external one, through which evil and falsity come up from hell. The rational mind itself is in the middle, and to it these ways tend. That mind, from the goods and truths which are in it, is compared in the word to a city, and is called a city. And because it is compared to a city, and is called a city, gates are attributed to it. And it is often described as being besieged and stormed by enemies, that is, by evil genii and spirits, and as being defended by angels from the Lord, that is, by the Lord. The infernal genii and spirits, with their evils and falsities, cannot come further than to the lower or outer gate, and in no case into the city. If they could get into the city or into the rational mind, all would be over with the man. But when they come so far as to seem to themselves to have taken that city by storm, it is then closed, so that good and truth no longer flow into it from heaven, except, as was said, some little through chinks round about. From this it is that such persons no longer have anything of charity or anything of faith, but make good consist in evil and truth in falsity. From this also it is that they are no longer truly rational, although they seem to themselves to be so. Number 1914, 1944. And it is from this that they are called dead men, although they believe that they are more alive than others. Number 81, 290 at the end. These things are so because the gate of heaven is closed to them. That it is closed to them manifestly appears and is perceived in the other life, as also, on the other hand, that the gate of heaven is open to those who are in good and truth. As regards the gate of enemies in particular, which is treated of in this verse, it is with man in his natural mind. When man is wholly natural or not regenerate, evils and falsities occupy the gate, or what is the same, evil genii and spirits flow into it with cupidities of evil and persuasions of falsity. See number 687, 697, 1692. But when man becomes spiritual, or is being regenerated, then the evils and falsities, or what is the same, the evil genii and spirits, are driven away from the gate, or from the mind. Then goods and truths, or charity and faith, take their place, which things are signified by its being said, Thy seed shall inherit the gate of thine enemies. This takes place in particular with every man when he is being regenerated, and in like manner in the other life with those who come into the Lord's kingdom. And it also takes place in the general body, or in the church, which is composed of many. This was represented by the sons of Israel expelling the nations from the land of Canaan. The latter is meant in the literal sense where it is said, Thy seed shall inherit the gate of thine enemies. But in the internal sense are signified the things which have been told. Hence, in ancient times, it became customary to speak thus when blessing those who were entering into marriage, as is also manifest from the benediction of Laban to his sister Rebekah, when she was going away betrothed to Isaac. Our sister, be thou thousands of 10,000s, and let thy seed inherit the gate of those that hate thee. Genesis 24, verse 60. That such things are signified in the word by the gate of enemies or of those that hate may be seen from the following passages. In Isaiah, I will kill thy root with famine, and I will slay them that remain of thee. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou art melted away, O Philistia, all of thee, for there cometh a smoke out of the north. 14 verses 30 and 31. To kill the root with famine and to slay them that remain denotes to take away the goods and truths which had been stored up interiorly by the Lord. That they that remain mean these may be seen above. Number 468, 530, 560 to 562, 661, 798, 1050, 1738, 1906, 2284. The gate denotes access to the interiors or to the rational mind. The city, that mind, or what is the same, the goods and truths in it. Number 402, 2268, 2450, 2451, 2712. Philistia denotes the science of the cognitions of faith, or what is the same, those who are in the science of them, but not in the goods of faith. Number 1197, 1198. A smoke out of the north signifies that there is falsity from hell. That smoke is falsity from evil may be seen above, number 1861. In the same, the city of emptiness shall be broken down, every house shall be shut up that no one may come in. There is a crying in the streets because of the wine. All gladness shall be desolated, the joy of the land shall be exiled. That which is left in the city shall be desolation, and the gate shall be smitten with devastation. For thus shall it be in the midst of the earth, among the people. 24, verses 10 to 13. The city of emptiness which shall be broken down denotes the human mind as being deprived of truth. That every house shall be shut up denotes being without good. That a house is good may be seen above, number 2233, 2234. The crying in the streets because of the wine denotes a state of falsity. That a cry is predicated of falsities may be seen above, number 2240. Also that wine is truth, of which the cry is that there is none, number 1071, 1798. That streets are what lead to truths, number 2336. Gladness which is desolated is predicated of truth. The joy of the land which is exiled is predicated of good. Hence it is manifest what is signified by that which is left in the city shall be desolation, and by the gate shall be smitten with devastation. The gate is said to be devastated when nothing but evils and falsities reign. In Jeremiah, the ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to the appointed feast. All her gates are desolate, her priests do sigh, her virgins are afflicted, and she herself is in bitterness. Her adversaries have become the head, her enemies are secure, because Yahuwah hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the adversary. Lamentations 1, verses 4 and 5. The ways of Zion mourning denotes there being no longer truths from good. That ways are truths may be seen above, number 189, 627, 2333. All the gates being desolated denotes that all the approaches are occupied by falsities. The enemies having become the head denotes that evils reign. In the same, Yahuwah hath made the rampart and the wall of the daughter of Zion to lament. They languish together. Her gates are sunk into the earth. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the nations. The law is not. Yea, her prophets found no vision from Yahuwah. All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. They hissed and gnashed the teeth. They said, We have swallowed her up. Surely this is the day that we looked for. We have found, we have seen it. Lamentations 2, verses 8, 9, and 16. The gate sunk down into the earth denotes the natural mind occupied by evils and falsities. Her king and her princes being among the nations denotes that truths are immersed in evils. That a king as truth in general may be seen above, number 1672, 1728, 2015, 2069. Also that princes are primary truths, number 1482, 1089. And that nations are evils, number 1259, 1260, 1849, 1868, 2588. In Moses, A nation from far, from the end of the earth, shall straiten thee in all thy gates, in all thy land. Thus shall thine enemies straiten thee. Deuteronomy 28, verses 49, 52, and 53. This is among the curses which Moses foretold to the people if they should not remain in the precepts and statutes. A nation from far from the end of the earth, in the internal sense, denotes evils and falsities, or those who are an evil and falsity. To besiege in all the gates denotes cutting off all access to good and truth. In Nahum, Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land are set wide open to thine enemies. The fire hath devoured thy bars. Draw thee water for the siege, strengthen thy fortresses. Go into the clay and tread the mortar, make strong the brick kiln. 3 verses 13 and 14. The gates of thy land being set wide open to thine enemies denotes that evils occupy the place where there should be goods. In the book of Judges, The highways ceased, and they walked through byways. They went through crooked ways. The villages ceased in Israel. He chose new gods. Then was war against the gates. Was there a shield seen or a spear in 40,000s of Israel? 5 verses 6 to 8. The prophecy of Deborah and Barak, there being war against the gates, denotes against goods and truths. In David, They that dwell in the gate plot against me. They that drink strong drink sing songs. Psalm 69, verse 12. They that dwell in the gate denotes evils and falsities, and also the infernals. In Ezekiel, In the visions of God he brought me to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north. He there saw the great abominations of the house of Israel. He also brought me to the door of the gate of the house of Yahuwah that looketh toward the north. He there also saw abominations. 8 verses 6, 14 and 15. The door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north denotes the place where interior falsities are. The door of the gate of the house of Yahuwah toward the north denotes the place where interior evils are. That the falsities and evils are interior ones, and that it is an interior sphere in which such spirits and genii are, may be seen above, number 2121 to 2124. In David, Lo, sons are a possession of Yahuwah, and the fruit of the womb is his reward, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are sons of the youth. Happy is the man that hath filled his quiver with them. They shall not be ashamed, for they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. To speak with the enemies in the gate denotes to have no fear of evils and falsities, and thus not of hell. In Isaiah, in that day shall Yahuwah Zebaoth be for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn back the battle to the gate. And these also are insane through wine, and through strong drink are gone astray. 28, verses 5 to 7. In the same, they shall be cut off that make men to sin by a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and make the just to turn aside to a thing of naught. 29, verses 20 and 21. In the same, Elam bare the quiver in a chariot of a man and horsemen. Kir uncovered the shield, and the choice of thy valleys was full of chariots and horsemen. They placed themselves at the gate, and he looked in that day to the armory of the house of the forest. 22, verses 6 to 8. In Jeremiah, Judah hath mourned, and the gates thereof languished. They have mourned to the earth, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. Their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits. They found no waters. 14, verses 2 and 3. In the same, the elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. Lamentations 5, verse 14. It may be seen from these passages what is signified by the gate of enemies, namely, that it is hell, or infernal spirits who are continually attacking goods and truths. Their seat with man, as before said, is in his natural mind. But when a man is of such a character as to admit goods and truths, and thus angels, the infernal spirits are then driven away by the Lord from that seat, and on their being driven away, the gate of heaven, or heaven itself, is opened. This gate is also mentioned in the word in various places, as in Isaiah. A song in the land of Judah, we have a strong city, salvation will he appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, and the just nation that keepeth fidelities shall enter in. 26, verses 1 and 2. In the same, thus said Yahuwah to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings, to open the doors before him, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and will make the crooked places straight, and I will break in pieces the doors of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. 45, verses 1 and 2. In the same, the sons of the stranger shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall not minister unto thee. They shall open thy gates continually, and shall not be shut day nor night. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting and destruction within thy borders. And thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. 60, verses 10, 11, and 18. In the same, go through the gates. Prepare ye the way for the people. Level, make level the highway. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. 62, verses 10 to 12. In Micah, they shall pass through the gate, and shall go out thereat, and their king shall pass on before them, and Yahuwah in their beginning. 2, verse 13. In David, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Yahuwah strong and mighty, Yahuwah mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, ye everlasting doors. Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10. In the same, praise Yahuwah, O Jerusalem, Praise thy God, O Zion, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. Psalm 147, verses 12 and 13. From these passages it is manifest that the gate of heaven is where angels are with man, that is, where there is an influx of good and truth from the Lord, and thus that as before said, there are two gates. Concerning these two gates, the Lord speaks thus in Matthew. Enter ye in by the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. 7 verses 12 to 14, Luke 13 verses 23 and 24. Moreover, the gates to the New Jerusalem and the gates to the New Temple are much treated of in Ezekiel, and also by John in the Apocalypse, by which nothing else is meant than the entrances to heaven. See Ezekiel 40 verses 6 to 49, 43 verses 1, 2, and 4, 44 verses 1 to 3, 46 verses 1 to 9, and 12, 48 verses 31 to 34, Revelation 21, verses 12, 13, 21, and 25, 22, verse 14, Isaiah 54, verses 11 and 12. Hence Jerusalem is called the gate of the people, Micah 1, verse 9, Obadiah, verse 13.